Acts chapter 15 in God's Word this morning. And we will be, Lord willing, finishing the chapter. We'll be looking at verses 36 through 41. Some of you are young and haven't spent very much time in church. Some of you haven't been a believer for very long and haven't spent much time in church. But a lot of you, most of you here this morning, have spent a lot of time, a lot of your at least adult years in church. And so I think if I were to take a poll, if I were to ask you to raise your hands and tell me how many of you have seen some kind of a church fight or a church argument or conflict in church, I think I'd get probably almost every hand of those who have been in church for a long time. You stick around long enough and you're going to find interpersonal conflict in church. You're going to find arguments, you're going to find personality conflicts. You're going to find people that disagree with each other. Now, sometimes those conflicts are very private and only a few people know about them. And maybe people solve it by one person sits on that side of the room and the other person sits on that side of the room. And if you know they're at a church fellowship, well, you just either don't go or you find a spot off in the corner and sulk about your problems with that person. But some problems, they make their way into the entire crowd, and they're very public, and everyone knows that these two people don't get along. And if we're talking about these sorts of problems outside of church, we have all these nicknames for them. And one of the nicknames we might call it is a spat. Oh, there's a spat between those two people. Or if there's a kind of a loud argument at church, which can sometimes happen, you might say, "Did you hear about the brouhaha today?" Or sometimes we might use the word kerfuffle. There was a kerfuffle at church. Or there's kind of a kerfuffle going on between these two people. Kerfuffle's an old Scottish word that means dispute, to ruffle someone's feathers. And sometimes you can have large families in the church, and that kerfuffle is between family members, but everybody knows about it. Sometimes it's between a group of people and one of the pastors. And sometimes it's just between unrelated church members. Now, some kerfuffles, some church disputes can be due to sin in the church. Some can be due to doctrinal disagreement, some important doctrine that's at stake. But I would say most kerfuffles in church are just personality or opinion. We have our opinions. We like our opinions. We think our opinions are important. And if given the chance to be asked our opinion, oh, we'll offer it. And then it's gospel truth. We've all heard of the quintessential church split over the color of the carpet. One side of the church wants red carpet and the other one wants gray. And the reason that's the trope that we turn to is because it's actually true. Church is literally split over the color of the carpet. People will walk into the doors of the church, walk right past someone, and someone doesn't say hello. That person didn't say hello to me. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Personality conflicts, differences of opinion. Now, if those conflicts go unresolved, which they often do, it hurts. You know who it hurts? It hurts the whole body. It hurts everyone in the church when two people are not getting along. And I'll tell you the usual response in churches. Again, we're not talking about some flagrant sin that's going on that's not being dealt with. We're not talking about somebody denying a doctrine of the faith. Those are obviously problems that you would need to consider leaving a church over. We're talking about personality and opinions. And you know the most common response? Just leave. Just leave the church. That's the most common response. To try to resolve personality or opinion differences, the most common response is, "I'll just leave and go find another church, and then I don't have to deal with it." I don't like the pastor, leave. I don't like that person. They didn't say hi to me. I'll leave. I'll go find someone that will. I didn't like that decision that was made. I was on the other side of that decision. I thought it should have been this. Leave. Or avoid. Avoid that person. I was in a church one time and two people, they were family members, longtime members of the church, and they no longer spoke to each other. And so one family member, literally there were more sections than this, and one sat in the far section of one side of the church and the other one in the far section of the other every Sunday. Everybody knew about it. It was awkward. It hurt the body. And friends, it's a bad, bad, bad display of God's glory, of God's character, of the bride of Christ. And today, in these verses, verses 36 through 41 of Acts 15, we're going to look at some brouhaha in the church in Antioch. Two men who were very close to each other. Two men who had risked their lives together. Two men who had traveled not only on missionary journeys, but also relief journeys together, doctrinal journeys together, had a problem. And friends, it threatened, this problem threatened to halt the gospel advance. This problem threatened to tear apart the church in Antioch. And as we see how it's dealt with today, would you please purpose in your heart to resolve your kerfuffles? Purpose in your heart as we look at the word today to resolve to kill your kerfuffles. For the sake of the body, for the sake of the gospel, be devoted to resolving them. The title of the sermon this morning is Killing Kerfuffles for the Kingdom. Would you look with me, please, at Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord, and see how they are." All right, we start this verse with "after some days." Well, it's been a minute since Paul and Barnabas were on their first missionary journey. In fact, it's been approximately 1 year since they traveled over to Cyprus and then up into Turkey. And Paul has an itch. He wants to know, how are these brand new fledgling churches in Cyprus doing? How are these brand new fledgling churches in the mountains of Antioch, Pisidia, and Iconium, and Derbe, and Lystra doing? How are they faring? What kind of persecution are they facing? Are they still standing for the Lord? It's been a year. Let's go. Let's go back. And so he says to his friend Barnabas, let's go and see how they are. And so it's Paul's idea. He initiates a request for the journey. He loves them. Notice he calls them brothers in verse 36. You remember Sergius Paulus on the island of Cyprus, who accepted Christ as his Savior? Or how about the disciples who, after Paul was stoned outside of Lystra, snuck him back into the city? How about all the believers in Iconium who were facing great persecution and about whom Paul said, "Through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom of God." He cares about them. He loves them. And so, friends, it's time, I want you to know this about the book of Acts, for missionary journey number two. Missionary journey number two. It's about the year AD 49 right now. We're about 16 years out from Jesus' resurrection, 16 years out from Pentecost. Paul and Barnabas had completed missionary journey one. They're about to spend the next 3 years on missionary journey number two. And the mission? Care for the churches. Care for the churches. Do a spiritual checkup. So this is Paul's idea. And folks, Barnabas agreed, but only under certain conditions. Verse 37. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And you're beginning to see our brouhaha. This is the disagreement. This is the dispute. And it's all over a man named Mark. Notice that there in verse 37 that it says John called Mark, and so we'll call him Mark. That's his name. We know him better as, in fact, Mark, John Mark there, he's the writer of the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so we know him better as Mark. We were first introduced to Mark, to John Mark, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. If you remember, Peter had been put into prison. He was going to be executed, just like the Apostle James. And there was a prayer meeting going on for Peter in the middle of the night, and it was at a woman's house. Her name was Mary, and she had a son. Her son's name was Mark. And if you'll remember, an angel let Peter out of the prison, and he walked down the street, and he went to John Mark's mom's house where the prayer meeting was going on, and he knocked on the door, and a young servant girl named Rhoda heard his voice, ran inside, and said, "Peter's here," and no one believed her. That is John Mark's mom's house. And that's where we were first introduced to him. But then we saw Mark again in the first missionary journey, because Mark accompanied Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. So when Antioch first sent them out and they said, "Let's go to Cyprus and then let's go up north to Turkey," John Mark went with them. But that first missionary journey and John Mark's involvement in it is Paul's problem. You see there in verse 38, Paul thought best. Paul believed this was the right move. Because in Acts chapter 13, in verse 13, in the city of Perga, in the province of Pamphylia, Mark took off. They had just finished the island of Cyprus. They had just crossed into Turkey. They had reached the city of Perga, which is at sea level, and they were about to climb the mountains up to Antioch Pisidia. Paul was likely very ill, as he wrote to the Galatians that the first time he entered the province of Galatia, he was very ill. Who knows? Perhaps Mark was as well. But for some strange reason, unknown to us to this day, in Acts 13:13, we find that Mark leaves Paul and Barnabas mid-missionary journey and goes back to Jerusalem. That's Paul's problem. Paul, there in verse 38, thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Well, you say, well, why does Barnabas want him then? Well, if you'll remember, there's a blood relation here. Because Colossians 4, verse 10, lets us in on a little secret that really helps us understand the book of Acts. You want to know what the secret is? Mark and Barnabas are cousins. Now, we forgive family a little bit easier than non-family, right? Blood relations, we might overlook some things that we wouldn't overlook elsewhere. Perhaps we're a little biased toward family. And so Barnabas wants his cousin to come along on this second missionary journey. But he's not Paul's cousin. And Paul says, no. John Mark left us in the middle of our missionary journey. He's not coming. And that's Paul's reason. Mark withdrew. Now, I want you to stop and ask yourself for a second why in the world this passage is in the Bible. And I only want you to ask yourself that because that's the question I asked myself probably 15 times as I was reading it and rereading it and rereading it again. Why is this brouhaha in the Bible? Why is this disagreement in the Bible? Why did Luke take a minute to record this? Let that question hang in your minds as we walk through it. But another question I want to ask you is, why is it that Paul is so concerned with Mark withdrawing from them? Now, you might say, well, he just doesn't forgive him. Is it? Is it unforgiveness? That is it that he feels Mark needs to be forgiven? That Mark sinned? I'm not so sure. The passage doesn't tell us, but it doesn't seem like it. At least that's not how Luke presents it. It doesn't seem that it's spite. More on that in a moment. But I want you to see that as we read through this, Luke doesn't take sides. I mean, you can get him to in your mind if you want to, but he doesn't take sides. As he records these few verses about this brouhaha in Antioch between Paul and Barnabas, he just records the facts. But he doesn't let us know who he supports or doesn't support. Could it be that Paul didn't want him to come because, well, John Mark doesn't know any of the believers in Turkey, so we can't bring him? Well, I would say Paul would give that reason. But he doesn't give that reason. He says he withdrew. He had withdrawn. You know what that is? That's a willful decision. Mark willfully decided to withdraw. Mark didn't become paralyzed and literally couldn't climb the mountains. He chose to withdraw. In other words, Paul felt like Mark could have continued. Paul felt like Mark's reason for withdrawing wasn't valid. And so what's really going on here, I believe the text is leading us to this. Paul thinks that Mark isn't reliable. Paul thinks that Mark is not faithful. And so what is Paul's concern? It's simple. If he withdrew once, he might withdraw again. If he withdrew from us once, if he took off once when the going got tough, he'll leave again. No way are we taking him. It was hard enough when we had to carry the extra bags up the mountain because Mark was supposed to carry them. And so Paul is hyper-focused on the mission, hyper-focused on the care for these churches, hyper-focused on the gospel, and he says, there is no way I'm going to take someone who won't be also hyper-focused on that mission, who might leave, who isn't reliable. And so they're at loggerheads. Well, does one of them give in? Verse 39. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Doesn't look like one of them gave in. The word sharp disagreement in your Bible is actually, it's two English words, but it's just one word in Greek. It's used very little in the New Testament. It has the idea of an intense argument. And it can mean that they became angry with each other. I want to read you another verse where we see this same word, only it's in a totally different context. It's Hebrews 10:24. Listen to this. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Same word, stir up. Now, that's in a good context. In this context, it's called a sharp disagreement. In Hebrews 10:24, it's good. It's as believers in Christ at lunch fellowship, after the service, before the service, throughout the week, figure out how to stir one another up toward love and good works, not toward anger. In other words, the word can be used good or bad. It doesn't necessarily have to contain the meaning of anger. In Acts 17:16, we see a different form of the word show up. Acts 17:16 reads like this. Now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. an intense provocation, an intense disagreement, an intense reaction. And in 1 Corinthians 13, 5, we read about love. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It is not irritable or easily provoked. Same word. Same word for sharp disagreement. Love is not irritable. Maybe there was anger between them. Don't know. But we do know what the result of their disagreement was. They separated. Now, folks, that sounds bad, right? If we were to stop there, that sounds really bad. Isn't that what we were talking about as we began to move into the preaching this morning? That sometimes the easiest thing to do instead of resolve conflict is just leave. Leave and go find another church. But that's not what happened. But before we see what happened, I want to make a few observations, okay? So stay with me before you move ahead and see what happens in this kerfuffle. I want to ask this question. Is Barnabas operating purely on nepotism? Meaning, is it purely, I want to take Mark along purely because he's family, and you're not going to tell me no? I don't think so. We were first introduced to Barnabas back in Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, if you'll remember, Barnabas is not his real name. Barnabas is a nickname. Barnabas is a nickname not given to him by mom. Barnabas is a nickname given to him by the apostles, according to Acts 4:36. His real name was Joseph, but he was called Barnabas. And do you know what Barnabas means? You might remember. It means son of encouragement. That's the nickname that Joseph got from the apostles. In fact, this son of encouragement, this Barnabas, was the first one in Acts 4 when the fledgling first church of the world started to actually sell a field and take all the money and lay it at the feet of the apostles so that those in the church who had not could have. That's the son of encouragement. That's Barnabas. And so I'm not so sure that the only reason Barnabas wanted to bring Mark along was because he was family. I think Barnabas was a man of second chances. I think Barnabas was a man who just believed the best about people. Oh, let's give Mark a second chance. Let's bring him along on this journey. Let's develop this man of God. He wants to serve. He wants to go. And if you'll remember, and maybe Paul forgot this. Who was the one who vouched for Paul in Jerusalem when none of the church wanted to have anything to do with him because he had been throwing Christians in prison and having them executed? It was Barnabas. Barnabas believed the best about Paul. And perhaps Barnabas believes the best about Mark. Well, is Paul's only reason for not wanting Mark to go because he withdrew? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe Paul didn't trust Barnabas' judgment. You say, well, how do you know that? Let's not read too much into the text. Okay, let's not read too much into the text. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. If you want to go there, I'll read it for you. It won't be up on the screen, but if you want to go there, Galatians chapter 2, I want to show you why Paul may have not trusted Barnabas' judgment when he says, let's bring along Mark. Now, Galatians 2, if you'll remember, is a story which is quite likely the story of how the people from Jerusalem, without the authority of the apostles, crept in secretly trying to spy out the freedom of the church in Antioch and bring them under bondage to a yoke of slavery to the Mosaic law. These were the people who came into Antioch and said, you need to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. It's not only through faith. You need to follow the Mosaic law in order to be saved. It's not only through faith. And when they did, we read this account in Galatians 2, verse 11. But when Cephas, that's Peter, okay? When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. So before certain men came in, Peter was eating with Gentiles. But listen, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. So Peter was afraid of the circumcision party from Jerusalem such that he drew back and wouldn't eat with Gentiles anymore. But listen to verse 13, okay? Catch this. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Barnabas was deceived along with Peter by those who came to spy out the freedom of the church in Antioch and say, no, you can't eat with Gentiles. They're not circumcised. No, you can't eat with Gentiles. You can't have table fellowship. That's abomination. And even Barnabas was deceived by that. Maybe Paul and Barnabas' relationship was already a little bit rocky because he literally says, Peter stood condemned and the other Jews were deceived. And I don't get the feeling that Paul said it nicely. And so maybe Paul didn't trust Barnabas' judgment when Barnabas said, let's bring Mark. Now, newsflash. I don't think Barnabas was sinning here, and I don't think Paul was sinning. In fact, when Barnabas says, let's bring John Mark, let's give him a second chance, is there anything wrong with that? No. And when Paul says, let's not bring someone who deserted us because he might desert us again, is there anything wrong with that? No. In other words, what do we have here? Well, it's not a sin issue. It's not a doctrinal issue. It's a difference of opinion. And my, oh my, do those happen in the church quite frequently. It's a difference of opinion. It's a personality difference. Paul's hyper-focused on the mission. Barnabas says, let's all get along. Neither way is wrong. Friends, before we move on to the rest of this passage, what do you do? What will you do when you have sharp disagreements in this church? It's going to happen. Stick around long enough. I promise you. Why is this passage in the Bible? Friends, it's how to handle conflict in the family. How to handle conflict in the family. We are the family of God. We have a mission from God, just like Paul and Barnabas did. And our disagreements can be sharp. We can stir up one another toward love and good works, or we can stir up one another toward all kinds of bitterness, hatred, and anger. And what do we do with it? Leave? Just leave, it's easier. Don't have to talk about it. No. Folks, that hurts everyone. Can you think about these two men for a second in this church? Who were Paul and Barnabas to Antioch? Who were they to this church? Nobodies? No. There were a couple of men from Cyprus and Cyrene who went to Antioch and shared the gospel, and people started getting saved. And then Barnabas is sent as an emissary from Jerusalem, and he goes up to Antioch to see what's going on. The church in Jerusalem says, hey, we're hearing about all these people getting saved in Antioch. Barnabas, go check it out. And so Barnabas goes up to Antioch and he sees the grace of God pouring out. Potentially thousands of people accepting Christ. Gentiles. And what does Barnabas do? I need help. I can't teach all these people. So he runs over to Tarsus. And there's a guy hiding there, because he was persona non grata in Jerusalem. And it's Paul. And he says, Paul, come and help me. And Paul goes, okay. And he runs back over to Antioch. And Paul and Barnabas spend 1 year together in Antioch teaching these brand new Christians the word of God. That's the relationship they have. And then Agabus, a prophet from Jerusalem, he comes up to Antioch and he says, hey, there's going to be a famine in Judea and they're going to need food. And the church in Antioch says, we have plenty. We'll send Barnabas and Paul with food and money. And so Barnabas and Paul now go on their first mission together down to the churches in Judea to give relief. And then they go back. And then the church in Antioch says, hey, you should go start churches, the two of you, you're good friends. You've taught us. You should go start churches in Cyprus and Turkey. And they commend them to the grace of God to go out into Cyprus and Turkey and start churches. And they do, and they're gone for 2 years. And then they come back and they rejoice with the church in Antioch. Paul and Barnabas. And then trouble comes. The unauthorized men from Jerusalem, they come up into Antioch, and they try to say, you need to be circumcised in order to be saved. And then Paul and Barnabas get sent on a different kind of mission, a doctrinal mission. They go down to Jerusalem, and they sit in the Jerusalem council, answering the question that salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. And then Paul and Barnabas, after answering that question, they get to go back with Silas and Barsabbas and deliver the news to Antioch that no, you don't have to be under the Mosaic law. You don't have to be circumcised. You are saved by faith. That's Paul and Barnabas. That's who Paul and Barnabas are to this church in Antioch. You got to imagine that this church is hurting when they see these two men in a sharp disagreement. But you know what else you imagine? What happens when two leaders in a church disagree sharply? People take sides. People take sides. It tears a church apart. You see why the very fabric of this church is being threatened? Why the advance of the gospel is being threatened? When these two men can't agree on their opinions? It's a scary place to be for a church. Threatening the mission, threatening unity. And so, friends, how do you kill a kerfuffle for the kingdom? Look at the second half of verse 39, please. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. You say, well, they went their separate ways. How? They didn't kill the kerfuffle. They separated. The cousins went to Cyprus together. That was Barnabas' hometown, by the way. Acts 4:36 says, thus Joseph, who was called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus. So the cousins go off to their home turf. And Paul, he takes that prophet from Jerusalem that spent a little bit of time in Antioch, so he's got a bit of a relationship with the Antiochian church. And Paul and Silas, they go off. And in Acts 16:21, we find out that both Paul and Silas are Roman citizens. Now, that's really helpful and maybe one of the reasons that Paul chose Silas to go with him. Not only was he a prophet in the church in Jerusalem, but he's also a Roman citizen. And where are they going? They're going to Roman provinces. Well, they went to Syria and Cilicia. Those are two provinces. Syria is the province where the church in Antioch was. And then Cilicia was one province over. And in fact, there was a city in Cilicia called Tarsus. That was Paul's home. So literally, Barnabas and Mark went off to their home turf, and Paul and Silas went off to theirs. But I want you to notice two things. Lest you think that we end this chapter without killing the kerfuffle, I want you to notice two things. First of all, what are they doing? So yes, they separated. The sharp disagreement caused them to separate it, but what are they doing? They're doing exactly what Paul suggested to Barnabas at the beginning of this section. Aren't they? Let's go back to the places that we proclaimed the word and see how they are. Where did they both head? Back to the places where they had proclaimed the word to see how they are. They're doing the mission. They're strengthening the churches, both of them. And folks, I want to show you that the first way to kill a kerfuffle is to focus on the kingdom. To focus on the kingdom, not on you. If you will focus on you when you have a spat, when you have a brouhaha, when you have a kerfuffle with someone in the church, if you focus on you and your feelings and how horrible they are, you will kill the work of the kingdom. God's work will suffer on your account. Barnabas didn't leave the church. There is zero indication that he left the church in Antioch. He merely said, okay, I'm still being sent by the church in Antioch, and I'm still going on the mission. I'll go to Cyprus. We'll divvy it up. Folks, find a solution to your interpersonal conflict, to your difference of opinion. You can find a solution. You don't have to leave. But second, look at that phrase in verse 40, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Which brothers commended Paul to the grace of the Lord? The brothers in Antioch, the church in Antioch. And who was commended? Paul was commended. But Paul doesn't go to Cyprus. He goes back toward Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and Antioch Pisidia. And so if they're commending Paul for not hitting Cyprus, then likely they're commending Barnabas for heading to Cyprus. In other words, the church in Antioch liked the solution. Okay, we get it. You guys have an irreconcilable difference here. You won't go together with Mark. Is there a way we can solve this and we can still do the kingdom work? Is there a way we can solve this and we can still have unity as brothers? Yeah. Hey, you remember Silas? He was here prophesying for us for a while. Paul, what if you go with Silas? He's Roman. Barnabas, what if you go to Cyprus? That's your hometown. You go with Mark to Cyprus. Paul, are you okay heading toward Tarsus? See your family and then go on into Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and Antioch Pisidia? Take Silas with you. Great. Double up, finish the mission faster. Hit new churches, spread the gospel more. And so that we move from sharp disagreement to commended to the grace of God. The church involved in the decision. And so the second way to kill a kerfuffle. If the first way is to focus on the kingdom, the second way is focus on the unity of the church, not you. I am telling you, stick around long enough and you'll hit kerfuffles. And if you go home and focus on you, it all falls apart. But if you will focus on the unity of the brothers, finding a solution, doing the hard work, not just leaving, it'll work. Sometimes people go their separate ways, but it doesn't mean they've left for good. You think Paul and Barnabas separated for good? Think again. You think they can't still work together? Think again. Barnabas doesn't show up again in the book of Acts, but he does show up in one of Paul's letters, 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul literally defends Barnabas. He says this, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? He's defending Barnabas. And by the way, 1 Corinthians was written between AD 53 and AD 55, 2 years after the second missionary journey. 2 years after this kerfuffle, Paul is defending Barnabas. If you think they just left, never talked to each other again, which is so common in how people leave churches today, think again. Now, how about Paul and Mark? What happened there? Well, Mark shows up three more times in the New Testament. The first time is in Colossians chapter 4. We're studying the book of Colossians on Wednesdays, and we know that Paul wrote Colossians from prison, and likely he had never been to the church in Colossae. In Colossians 4:10, this is what we read. Paul writes this, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. well after missionary journey number two. Well after this kerfuffle. And then in Philemon 1:24, Paul writes, "And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my," listen to this, "fellow workers." Mark's his fellow worker. He puts him in the category of fellow worker, Mark. But the best one is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Paul writes this, "Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. For he," catch this, "is very useful to me in ministry." Bring Mark. Bring Mark. Get Mark over here. He's useful. By the way, Barnabas was right about Mark. Barnabas, the man of second chances, he ended up being right about Mark. What's the point, friends? They resolved their problems. The ministry didn't fall apart. Folks, there are going to be kerfuffles. What are you going to do when they happen? This is about you and me now. We've seen the text, but now it's about you and me. What are we going to do when kerfuffles happen? Is working kerfuffles out difficult? Oh, yeah. Oh, sometimes it takes hours, days, finding creative solutions. But what are the two things that are most important? Our brothers and sisters, everyone else it affects. We're all part of the body, and we are all a body part. You try cutting off a finger, it hurts. A couple of you have tried it. You leave the church, it affects everyone. It affects everyone. But what's the second thing that's important? Winning souls and the strengthening of believers. Sometimes creativity is needed in solving our solutions in church. Like, we've got Cyprus, you've got Turkey. Still accomplish the mission, not enemies. Folks, we are brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters who all care about God's kingdom. Now, maybe you're here today and you're not a part of God's kingdom. If Jesus doesn't know you, then you aren't. You aren't part of God's kingdom. And really, you don't care about killing kerfuffles. Maybe you thrive on them. There would kind of be no reason for you to care about them. You just care about you. Folks, if you are here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you want a family that cares about its siblings and cares about God's mission on earth, then join us. You know how you join that family? You know how you join that global family that cares about God's work and that cares about their brothers and sisters? You simply turn to Jesus in faith. You simply turn from your sin and turn from your self-rule. That means you rule your life. You come to God and you seek his forgiveness. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, for your sin, because you needed that. And that was the only way that you could pay for your sin, lest you end in an eternity in hell. You believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that he conquered death and sin, and you tell God, "I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus now." You can do that this morning. If you're listening, if you're here in person, and you have not placed your faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you can do it right now while I'm speaking. You can talk to God right now. And then be welcomed into the kerfuffle-killing family. Well, in conclusion, folks, we're about to embark on missionary journey number two. It's going to be chapters 16 through 18 of Acts. We're going to watch the work of the kingdom advance because this kerfuffle was killed. Two good men separated for now, both commended to the grace of God, both carrying on kingdom work. What about you? I chose this almost silly title for the sermon because I want it to be burned into your memories. Because I promise you one thing. If you don't remember anything from this sermon, when the next spat comes up in this church, you're going to remember the word kerfuffle if it's the last thing I do. Will you kill kerfuffles for the kingdom? Avoidance is not an option. You need to work hard. We all must work hard on resolutions. Involve others in our resolutions. We must not become angry. We must not become vindictive. We can't sit on the opposite sides of the church. The work of discipleship is too vital. The work of evangelism is too vital. God's glory is too important. And so let us strengthen each other and solve our sharp disagreements. And so I leave you with this. If we are going to kill kerfuffles for the kingdom, we would do well to remember Paul's words. Paul's words. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Let's pray. Our Father, our hearts are so stubborn and we just stubbornly want our own way. And it doesn't matter whether it's family or someone we just met in a road rage incident. We don't want to give up me. We don't want to give up our opinion. The color of the carpet has to be this. Somebody has to say hi to me the right way. And there are so many things that bug us and bother us. And oh God, would you help us to have love, agree with one another, be at peace with one another. That's what Paul learned as he wrote there in the second letter of Corinthians. God, would you keep us from avoidance? Would you keep us from the easy way out of just leaving? Would you help us to focus on those two things that are most important? Your mission, your work, and the unity of our brothers and sisters in our own local church. And we'll thank you for what you're doing in our lives, even through this passage this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.